Go ahead.
Morning, everyone. Today is Thursday, February 26, 2026. It is 9:30 a.m. We are here for the regular meeting of the Annuity and Pension Board Employees Retirement System of the City of Milwaukee. Jane, can I have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Barmore?
Yes.
Mr. Christensen?
Here.
Mr. DeClean?
Here.
Ms. Ford?
Here.
Mr. Helling?
Here.
Mr. Conrad?
Here.
Mr. Kovac?
Here.
And Mr. Bell?
Here.
Quorum.
Thank you, everyone, for joining this morning. We are going to be working off our agenda. It was a revised agenda that was sent out. And we will jump into the regular meeting. Item 1, appointment of committees for 2026. We have items A, B, C, and D. What is the appointment of the committee for person for administration and operations committee? And I would like to appoint Bill Christensen to be the chairman for that committee. Bill, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would love to be the chair of the committee. I think it aligns pretty well with my duties as controller. So I thank you for the nomination.
Thank you, Bill. And moving on to item 1, Board B, the investment committee. That appointment was already made for Tim Helling. And item 1, letter C, the legislative committee. That appointment also was already made for Deborah Ford. Thank you, Ms. Ford. And letter D, the litigation committee. That one will be committee of the whole and determined on an as-needed basis. Any comments or questions from board members or staff regarding item 1? I hear none. We will move on to item 2, approval of minutes. Letter A, annual meeting held January 28, 2026. Any comments or questions regarding those minutes from the meeting in January?
Mr. Chair, this is Pat McLean.
Go ahead, Patrick.
I do have one correction to make to the minutes on page 6. Under the suspension of duty disability retirement item, the very last sentence of that main paragraph should read that if the member is under suspension for 1 year, the board, not he, would have the option to cancel his benefit altogether. So just to clarify that it would be the board that has the authority to permanently revoke a benefit.
Thank you, Patrick. I see that on page 6, and that change can be made unless there's any objections regarding that.
It's corrected on the website and packet already.
Thank you. And then thanks, Jan. And I know that we have a motion to approve those minutes. Can we still do the motion since it's been changed with the caveat that that adjustment be made?
Yes, Mr. Chair, just a motion to approve as amended.
Great, thank you, Patrick. I will make the motion to approve the minutes from the annual meeting held January 28, 2026 with the mentioned amendments. Do I have a second?
I'll have a second.
Thank you, Tim. Any objections regarding? I'm hearing any motion to approve the annual minute held January 20th, 2026 with the mentioned amendments passes. Moving to item 3, our chief investment officer report. And I believe this will require us to go into closed session. Please speak.
Mr. Chairman, I think Eric can probably give the performance update first, and then I'll state a few words as to why we're going to closed session, and then we'll go into closed session if that works for you and the board.
Sounds great, David. Thank you. We will start off with Eric. Go ahead with the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, everyone. The fund value as of January 31st was $6.67 billion. The return of 1.9% net of fees for the month outperformed the fund's blended benchmark by approximately 43 basis points. The main relative performance drivers, public equity style bias was the big one that added 39 basis points. That was primarily from the fund's small cap and value biases. And then manager selection added 11 basis points, and this we just saw some, you know, pretty broad-based outperformance from our managers during the month, as 10 out of 14 active managers outperformed. You can see in the table to the right that the fund is underperforming over the 1 and 20-year time periods, while outperforming or in line in all other time periods. As of February 25th, the fund is up 1.5% month-to-date in February, which brings the year-to-date return to up 3.4% and the fund value to $6.77 billion. Eight out of our the 13 active mandates that we have now are outperforming year-to-date, and the public equity asset class along with the total fund are exceeding their respective benchmarks year-to-date net of fees. We've seen an investment change of $221.4 million. Received contributions of $210.8 million and paid out benefits and expenses of $44.0 million so far this year. We'll be making the following monthly withdrawals this month, $12.4 million from Brandis, $7.7 million from DFA US Small Cap, $7.3 million from Earnest, $7.1 million from DFA International Small Cap, and $4.2 million from AQR's emerging market strategy. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to take them at this time. Otherwise, that concludes my report.
Thank you, Eric. Any comments or questions from board members or staff? All right, so not hearing any. Thank you, Eric. And David, go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I mean, members of the board. I'll be brief with the remainder of my comments. Again, really pleased with how the fund is performing so far to start the year. You know, our funds, I would say, is working hard. As Eric just reported, a 3.4% return year to date, a couple months into the year, and about 50 basis points is from outperformance, and almost all of that is from our public equity portfolio. Mainly style bias, a little bit of stock selection. I'll just throw out a few numbers in here that kind of, I think, we'll help put some perspective on this. The S&P 500, which is probably the most cited benchmark index for U.S.-based investors, was up about 1.65% year-to-date through yesterday. We benchmark to the ACWI IMI, which is up 5.27% year-to-date during the same period. So you can see how much better having a more diversified plus global and small cap benchmark is doing during this. Our public equity portfolio is over the same period up over 7% to start the year. So you have 1.65% S&P, 5.27% our benchmark, and over 7% public equity portfolio. So it's probably safe to say a lot of people aren't having the same experience as us. A lot of the style bias and diversification that we emphasize collectively in our public equity structure that we talk about a lot has really been benefiting the fund in recent months. And it's really the reason why we can report it at this time that, you know, our fund return is about halfway to our, half of what our discount rate is just 2 months into the year. I'll pause there, and if there's any questions, happy to answer them. Otherwise, we can transition into the closed session piece of this.
Thank you, David. A great start to the year. Any comments or questions for David before we address closed session? All right, but not hearing any, we'll move on to item 3A, and that will to go into closed session. Be advised that the
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. I do have to say that we're advised by the attorneys that we just have to make a comment before we could jump into closed session. So I apologize for having to interrupt. Okay. All right. Thank you. The ERS has several categories of investments and investment managers that manage the fund's investments on our behalf. One of these categories is public equity. Public equity investment managers manage investments that are publicly traded on the stock market. One of our current investment managers has had some investment developments that staff feels are notable and would like to discuss with the board and then request direction from the board. These discussions need to be done in closed session for competitive reasons. So staff is requesting that the board now convene in closed session to discuss the matter. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, David. I will go through the statement and then ask for a motion to go in. So please be advised that the Annuity and Pension Board may vote to convene in closed session on the following items. 3A, as provided in section 19.85 sub 1E, Wisconsin statutes, to deliberate or negotiate the purchase of public properties, the investing of public funds, or conducting other specified public business, whether competitive or bargaining reasons, declare a closed session. The board may then vote to reconvene in open session following the closed session. Do I have a motion to go into closed?
Mr. Clean will make the motion.
Thank you, Justin. Do I have a second?
Bill will second.
Great. Any objections regarding? Then we'll have a roll call.
Roll call, Mr. Barmore.
Aye.
Mr. Christensen.
Aye.
Mr. DeClean.
Aye.
Ms. Ford.
Aye.
Mr. Helling.
Aye.
Mr. Conrad.
Aye.
Mr. Kovac.
Aye.
Mr. Bell.
Aye. And the time is 9:42 a.m.
The recorder will be paused now. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Terry. We're back in open session. It's 10:07 a.m. and I will put forth a motion to approve the recommendation regarding public equity investment manager as discussed in closed session. Do I have a second regarding?
No, in a second.
Thank you, Tim. Any objections regarding? Hearing any, the motion to approve the recommendations regarding public equity investment manager as discussed in closed session passes. Thank you, everyone. Moving on to item 4, investment committee report. And this will be Tim. Go ahead, please.
Good morning, everyone. Chairman Helling here. We had our investment committee meeting February 12th, 2026. At that meeting, Board Chairman Matt Bell announced that his appointment for committee chair was myself, Tim Helling. After that, the investment committee unanimously elected Deborah Ford as its vice chair. Next, we had Callan give a presentation on their 2026 capital market assumptions, which included a slide that shows the fund's existing strategic asset allocation target. Is projected to generate an annualized 7.03% return over the next 10 years. Callan also modeled a scenario that replaced the fund's existing 3.3% liquid real assets target with additional core real estate, and Callan projects that making this change would increase the fund's annualized expected return to 7.06% and decrease projected volatility from 11.57% to 11.53%. The committee then went into closed session on items related to the core fixed income investment manager research, the Morgan Stanley Prime Property Fund consent to restructure, and the contemplated real asset structure changes. The committee then came back into open session and approved the fixed income manager search finalist and the recommendation regarding Morgan Stanley Prime Property Fund LLC to consent to restructure. In addition, After Callan provided the real assets benchmark and structure changes update in open session, the committee approved the real asset structure recommended within the Callan memo. The approved real estate's real asset structure replaces a 3.3% liquid real assets allocation with additional core real estate, resulting in a 12% target to core open-end private real estate. After that, the committee approved updates to the fund's statement of investment policy that incorporated the new real asset structure. The inception date for the fund's new benchmark will be April 1st, 2026. Finally, staff went over the fund's fourth quarter 2025 performance report and also presented the annual value add analysis. The value add analysis estimates that the ERS has been able to add an additional $929 million to the fund's value, net of fees, over the last 31 years by implementing the fund's stock, bond, private equity, and absolute return allocations in a way that has outperformed low-cost passive benchmarks. $282 million of that additional value is estimated to have been generated in the past 10 years. The investment committee recommends approval of the following items. We have four of them. Number one, approved fixed income manager search finalists. Number two, approved recommendation regarding Morgan Stanley Prime Property Fund, LLC, consent to restructure. Number three, approval of real asset structure. And number four, approval of statement of investment policy update. I also wanted to throw in there that we'd like everyone to have an in-person meeting on our next investment committee, which will be on April 16th, 2026. We're going to be bringing in finalists for the manager search. And they've also been invited to present in person. So it'd be great if everybody could be in person for that day. That concludes my report.
Thank you, Tim. Any comments or questions from the committee report from board members or staff? Can address items A through B. All right, not hearing any. It is marked for closed session. David or Patrick, do we see any reason need to go into closed session to discuss, or would any board members prefer to go on the close to ask some questions about A through B?
I mean, I'll answer that if you don't mind, Patrick. There's no new information than what was discussed at the February Investment Committee meeting. So this is listed as a placeholder. So you have the ability, if any one board member has any follow-up or questions that they want to ask before they vote on this, we have the ability to go into closed session, but it's exactly the same information that was provided at the committee meeting. So we don't, in our mind, it's not required to do so.
Great. Thank you, David. And that would be for A and B. Then I can go through and do motions for each item, A through D. I'll start with item A. The motion to approve the fixed income manager search finalists.
And Orville's approval.
I heard Rudy first, and then I heard Deborah second. Any objections regarding? Not hearing any. The fixed income manager search finalists passes. Moving on to item B. I will make a motion to approve the recommendation regarding Morgan Stanley Prime Property Fund LLC consent to restructure. Do I have a second?
Ellen, a second.
Thank you, Kim. Any objections regarding? Not hearing any. Motion to approve the recommendation regarding Morgan Stanley Prime Property Fund LLC consent to restructure passes. Item four, letter C. I will make a motion for the approval of the real assets structure as discussed. Do I have a second?
This is Bill, I'll second.
Thank you, Bill. Any objections regarding? Motion to approve the real asset structure as discussed passes. Finally, item four, letter D. I will make a motion to approve the statement of investment as discussed. Do I have a second?
DeClean will second.
Thank you, Justin. Any objections regarding? Not hearing any. The motion to approve the statement of investment policy update as discussed passes. Thank you, Tim. And that concludes item four. Moving on to item five, we have new business, letter A, death claims and refunds in January will require a motion to approve. However, Patrick, any comments regarding?
No additional comments, Mr. Chair. This is the routine monthly list for payroll. If anyone has any questions, they can ask them now or contact me offline. Otherwise, I believe a motion is in order.
Great, thank you. Any comments or questions from board members or staff? Go ahead, John.
One more motion to accept and place on file.
Thank you, John. Any objections regarding? Not hearing any. Motion to approve the payroll for January 2026 passes. Item 5, letter B, conference request, February 26, 2026 board meeting. There is one request for Eric to attend the Harrison Street Annual Investor Conference. This is Boulder, Colorado in May 4th through the 7th. Estimated cost of $2,250. Any comments from board members or staff regarding? Not hearing any, I'll make a motion to approve the conference requests for Eric Sauer for May 4th through 7th, 2026. Do I have a second?
DeClean will second.
Thank you, Justin. Any objections? Not hearing any, motion to approve the conference requests for February 26th, 2026 board meeting passes. Moving on to item 6, medical reports. Letter A, off duty and ordinary disability applications and reexaminations. Good morning.
Pretty simple report this month, Mr. Chair. I have Deputy Director Gus Petropoulos here to make any additional comments you may have.
There's a very brief report this month. Medical panel did not have any approvals or denials to report. Medical council was all re-exams that were relatively routine. There were four. At least the medical council report, approvals report is before you for approval.
Thank you, Gus. Any comments or questions from board members or staff? Not hearing any, I'll make a motion to approve the medical reports for February 2026. Do I have a second?
This is Bill, I'll second.
Thank you, Bill. Any objections regarding? I hear any motion to approve medical reports for February 2026 passes. Moving to item 7, unfinished business. Letter A, pending legal opinions and service requests report. Is our city attorney partner on the line?
I am. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Good morning.
Fellow board members.
Go ahead.
This is Lori Rawlings. Yes, there are no pending legal opinions or service requests. With regard,
thank you. We can.
Sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, thank you. No legal opinions or service requests on the report, which will then item 7, letter B, pending legislation report. And who wants to handle this?
I'll handle that, Mr. Chair. Again, a pretty simple report. The legislative committee voted on the two proposed rule amendments earlier today before the board meeting. The board can expect to see those items on next month's agenda for final approval. And there's really been no change on those two proxy voting bills that are pending, or three really, but the two items that are pending state legislation, and we're continuing to track those as well.
Thank you. Any comments or questions? Not hearing any, I do can address one issue under the business regarding letter item 5, letter A. This was for the retirement death claims and refunds of January. There was a motion to approve payroll by John. That wasn't a second. I will make that second. And is there any objections regarding? Or Patrick, is it best to start fresh with a new motion?
Yeah, just to keep it, we were just discussing that internally. I had actually checked that there was a second, so I'm going to listen to the tape and figure out what the heck happened there. But yeah, I think just for the sake of clarity, it'd be easiest just to have a new motion, a new second, and a new vote.
Great. I will throw this forward. Moving back then to item 5, letter A. Apologize for the confusion. Retirement death claims and refunds. Do I have a motion? Do I have a motion to approve payroll January 2026.
Barmore, motion to accept.
Thank you, God. Second time. And I will make the motion, second that motion. Any objections regarding? Not hearing any. The motion to approve payroll 2026 passes. All right, jumping back to item 7, we are now to item C, pending litigation report. You do have this marked for closed session, and I think we will need to go in there, correct, Patrick?
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
Great. Please be advised that the Annuity and Pension Board may vote to convene in closed session the following items, 7, letter C, as provided in section 19.85(1)(g), Wisconsin State Statutes, to confer with legal counsel concerning strategy to be adopted by the body with respect to litigation in which it is or is likely to become involved. Board may then vote to reconvene an open session following the closed session. Do I have a motion to go into closed?
I have a motion to go into closed.
Thank you, Jim, on the first, and I think that was Deborah. Second that motion. Do I have a roll call regarding, please?
Mr. Barmore?
Aye.
Mr. Christensen?
Aye.
Mr. DeClean?
Aye.
Ms. Ford?
Aye.
Mr. Helling?
Aye.
Mr. Conrad?
Aye.
Mr. Kovac?
Aye.
Mr. Bell?
Aye. And the time is 10:22 a.m.
Recorders.
Oh, sorry, 11:21.
Thank you.
All right, back in open session, it's 11:21 a.m. We are at item 7, letter D, the executive director's report, inventory of ERS project. Go ahead, Patrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be brief. We've already had a bit of a long meeting today. I'm happy to report that Corrine Anderson was promoted to fill the vacant benefit services coordinator position. We'll now be working to fill the benefit services specialist position left vacant by Corrine. We had 42 new retirees on payroll in January, and we had 54 retiree and employee deaths. Moving on to section 3, financial services, just to note that outside earnings letters will be mailed by March 15th. So look out for those for anybody listening. Nothing to report in information services. As usual, everything is running smoothly. And then finally, in the last section there, administration, we had our annual all-staff meeting in February to get our required training in. I will be attending the Milwaukee Retirees Association on April 14th, 2026. I believe Trustee John Barmore will be joining me, if I'm not mistaken. And if I am, I apologize. But this is just a continuation of an effort to get around to all the retirees association and introduce myself to the leadership over there and as well as the members. The final reminder, the statements of economic interest for all trustees are due by February 28th, 2026. I've included a link to the statement in the report. You can get that right off of the Milwaukee website. If you need a copy of last year's report, just reach out to the Ethics Board. They're more than happy to provide a copy. I actually did it myself and found it quite helpful. So do be sure to get those in on time. There are penalties associated with a late filing. Last item there, as the board will recall, at January's board meeting, we removed a pending legal opinion request related to Hackham in favor of just including updates in the executive director's report. I think it goes without saying that this is something that we are obviously continuing to monitor very closely. There's a thorough update in the report, but just the highlights of it. The fact that Hackham is in the process of reconstituting its leadership. They should have a new secretary executive director here in the near future. Their executive search committee just narrowed it down to a final slate of candidates, a handful of candidates, and I believe they are also looking to fill the positions of chief financial officer and chief operating officer. So there's going to be a lot of new faces at the top of Hackham by the time this process is over. You know, I think significantly for us, Hackham is looking, or actually is not looking, is in the active process of creating a standing finance committee. The goal of this is to have better financial oversight and avoid, I think, some of the blind spots that led them into the situation that they're currently in. So that's certainly an excellent development. We look forward to seeing the beneficial output of that. Finally, I intend to include these charts moving forward in case anyone wants me to take them out, but I think it's a good thing just to keep track of Hackham's outstanding employer contributions as of the date of this meeting, well, actually as of the end of the month. I will note that only that top balance for the plan year 2024 contribution is technically past its statutory due date. The other ones are accruing interest but are not technically past their due date. That's an important thing to note. And if anyone has any questions on anything in the report, but particularly anything related to Hackham, I'd be happy to answer them now.
Thank you, Patrick. Any comments or questions for Patrick? All right, thank you. And that completes letter D of item 7. Item 7E, the approval of the 2026 ANL committee audit charter. And who will be handling that?
I'll be handling that as well, Mr. Chair. You know, I think I'll keep my comments short. We had a good discussion about this at the last meeting. There was a request to bring back a redline version for the trustees review, which again, I think is a good suggestion. As indicated at the last meeting, you can see that literally the only things that are changing from last year to this year is are the dates on the charter. Everything else remains the same. As I indicated last month, our CFO, Dan Gopalin, and his team have really worked hard with the Legislative Audit Bureau to get this charter in a place that balances our unique new statutory obligations under Act 12, as well as maximizing this board's governance control over the process. So a kudos to Dan in that regard. The only additional comment that I will make is that I misspoke last month. I indicated that the charter authorizes staff to execute the engagement letter. That was just me misspeaking. It authorizes staff to execute the representation letter. Other than that, if anyone has any questions, I'd be happy to, you know, repeat what we discussed last month, but hopefully it's fresh in everybody's mind, and I'll take any questions anyone has.
Thank you, Patrick. Kenny. Questions for Patrick?
Motion to approve.
Thank you, John, for the motion to approve the 2026 Annual Committee Audit Charter. I will make the second motion. Any objections regarding? Not hearing any, motion to approve the 2026 Annual Committee Audit Charter passes. Thank you. Item 8, informational. We have items A through F. Is there any comments or questions on items A through F? Not hearing any, those will be placed on file regarding. And that takes us to the end of the agenda. Do I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Kovac moves.
Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Tim. Any objections? Not hearing any objections. Thank you, everyone. And that concludes the meeting at 11:29 a.m. Everyone have a good day.